Would you turn with me to 2 Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians. Are you like me? You always like to find it quickly, so I always go to the T's when I'm looking for Timothy and Titus and Thessalonians, so they're all there together. So look with me for 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 5 in just a moment. But as an introduction to the message this morning, I'm going to ask you to sing one more hymn with me because it is a part of the message. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord God loves us with an everlasting love? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that once you surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ, it is His responsibility and it is His promise to hold on to you for eternity? It is. It is your responsibility to draw closer to Him. It is your responsibility to want to be like Him. But He is the one with the strength that says He will never let you out of His hand. Amen. I love the assurance of salvation. There is a song called Blessed Assurance. I want us to sing it together. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Sing loud. Purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Is this your story? This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And all God's people said, amen. That is one of my favorite hymns, and it's very appropriate for us today, because in times when so much is uncertain, and these are the days when things can be so unsure, it is wonderful to know that there is something that you can count on every moment, every day, and not just in this world, but in the one to come for eternity. You can sing with assurance, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Every soul, every person with an understanding of eternity desires to have blessed assurance, that assurance of genuine faith in Jesus Christ. And I just pray that every soul had an equally strong desire to live it. Not just to have the assurance, but to live the assurance. And when they do, the assurance comes even stronger, because it is our faith and evidence of our faith that show us and show others that we're genuine in Christ. In today's passage that we're just about to read, we're going to hear from Paul's very pastor heart. It comes shining through in this Thanksgiving passage. And it is a passage of thanksgiving. And here in his second letter to the Thessalonians, he enthusiastically gives thanks to God for this congregation. And he encourages them by sharing back with them and mentioning four different evidences of their faith. He says, listen, this is why I give thanks, because I see these evidences in you. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and your outline says verse 15. Well, sometimes your pastor makes mistakes, and that should be 1 through 5, okay? So when you go back, you might want to put a little dash there, lest you go back and look at this and go, what in the world was he talking about? So put a little dash there, and your pastor is all corrected there, okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all of your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. He says, this is evidence of the righteous judgments of God. Evidence. Evidence. My question for you this morning as we enter this brief prayer is to ask you, can you look at your life and see evidence of real faith? Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that the circumspection would be complete this morning in every one of us, that you would help us to see, Lord, the evidences of our faith. Father, that others, our friends, our church members, our community, might see us and actually want to give thanks for the evidences of our faith. Lord, would you help us as we rightly judge ourselves, and then, Lord, ask and seek for you to make us stronger and better and walk closely to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see here in the scripture that he gives four evidences. And I want to start there with the very first one. He says there in verse 2, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you think, well, is that an evidence? Absolutely. Grace and peace are an evidence. And let me tell you why. With these words, he reminds these members, these Christian brothers and sisters, that they are in Christ. He says, grace and peace. Now, how in the world does just saying these words say that they're in Christ? First of all, to be in Christ is to be the recipient of God's grace and peace. Amen? You don't have to come to God and surrender yourself to him and say, God, I hope sometime in my life that you'll bring me grace and peace. Listen, when you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, as a child of God, you receive his grace and peace. So this is an evidence. I saw a bumper sticker one time that I really like. It said, no Christ, N-O, no peace. And then it said, no Christ, no peace. It said, K-N-O-W, Christ, K-N-O-W, peace. No Christ, no peace. No Christ and no peace. I think you got it. Good bumper sticker. Maybe we just need to make it a Grace Point bumper sticker one day. How do you have God's grace and his peace? Having God's grace and peace, literally from the beginning, our understanding is not just to be with God, but also to be cleared from his judgment. Amen? Listen, we will all appear before God. The scripture tells us that it is given unto man once to die, and then we face the judgment. When we face the judgment of God, as his child, as a one who has surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, instead of God aiming his righteous and rightful wrath at my sin, God aims his love at my heart. Which do you prefer, God fire? His wrath or his love? Folks, he aims at his love at all of those who belong to Jesus Christ. And we have the assurance of forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And if he is yours, then so are his grace and his peace. Now, when we as believers do not abide in Christ, we don't live with him, we don't stay with him, then we begin to walk through his life without his grace, and we certainly walk through his life without his peace, because grace and peace are found only because we abide in Jesus. These are things given to us by the Lord. God's riches at Christ's expense, grace. And the only way to have peace is by surrendering to the King of Kings. Our faith struggles when we don't have His grace. Our faith struggles when we don't have His peace. And it is so easy to forget who we are, is it not? Have you gone through even one day without holding on to the Savior and let yourself get away from yourself? Nobody. I am so thankful you're perfect. You might want to get a new pastor. I am far from it. There are days that I get away from who I am in Christ because I do not seek His presence every moment. And in those times, the world kind of comes out in my manner. Paul's prayer right here. Look at, if you have your Bibles open, look at it again. He said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what that is? It is a prayer for them. And this is Paul's prayer. What? What's his prayer? That we would come to know the Heavenly Father's grace and peace. How? More fully. And when we do that, other evidences begin to show as well. Let's read that verse 3 again. He said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. So the second evidence is gratitude. Gratitude. Paul says, we are bound to thank God always for you. Listen, when you are in Christ, when you are of God, when you abide with Him, other folks are going to give thanks for you because you're a blessing, because you're a help, because you're like Christ to them. Paul says, we're bound. In other words, we are literally tied up and unable to do anything else except to say, God, thank you for that person. You know anybody like that? You know anybody not like that? Paul says we're bound to give thanks to God for you. In 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, it's recorded that Paul sent to the Thessalonian church Silas and Timothy. And they were going to Thessalonica with this first letter. And he said, in this letter, he said, I pray that your love would increase. Apparently, if you go back and read 1 Thessalonians, you see some things in that church that are needing some help. That's usually what happened when Paul wrote a letter. They weren't doing things right. And they weren't loving each other. And they weren't praising the Lord as they should. Their faith and their love were waning. But here, Paul responded back with his second letter, and he writes to Silas, and he writes to Timothy, and he writes to all the church, and he says, he hears back from them that they're growing in their faith and they're growing in their love. So he responded back with a great thanksgiving. Maybe he even had in mind Psalm 75. Psalm 75 kind of repeats what he was wanting to say. It says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. That's what Paul was saying. He said, look, I hear about you. So I see in you that God's wondrous works are near. You're growing more like Christ. There's a gratitude there. Giving thanks to God for His work in His church is a Christian duty. Now let me ask you. Don't answer out loud. But I sent to the church this last week a little devotion. And in it, it said to give God thanksgiving and to give Him thanks. One of the things listed was your church. Did you give God thanks for His church? And did you realize that it is your duty to give God thanksgiving and to give God thanksgiving for the good things that He gives you? I hope you consider His church one of the good things He's given you. Did you do that this last week? Did you give God thanks? I'm going to remind you again, this is an echo from last week's sermon. We're a forgetful people. We forget so many good things. We are so prone to forget the good things God has done and to be discouraged over the things that are going wrong and to complain. It's so much easier to complain than to be thankful. It's so much easier to gripe instead of to praise God. His reminder here is this. People, give thanks. It is a part of the evidence that God is in you. Give thanksgiving, not just to God, but to one another. There's a third evidence, and the evidence of growing faith and growing love. That second part of verse 3 says, he says, I give thanks to God always because of your faith growing and of the love of everyone to all people around you. Did you realize that genuine Christians will absolutely demonstrate a growing faith? You're going to grow. And Paul gives thanks for their growth. You know, if a child is not growing, you know what we do? We worry. Now, I know, mamas, you always want that little baby to stay your little baby. You want him to stay in his little Barney underwear and running around in the kitchen barefooted all of his days. But let me tell you, there's a day coming that's not going to be very sweet. You want that little fellow to grow, amen? You want him to get smarter. You want him to be able to take care of himself. You want him to grow up. You want him to talk like an adult. And if a child does not grow up, and if they do not keep growing, something's wrong. And we take them to the physician because they need some kind of physical help. Do you realize that we are called children of God for a reason? Children are supposed to grow into mature adults. Family, are you growing in maturity in Christ? Are you growing in your faith? If a child of God is not growing, and if a child of God is not maturing, then we as the family need to take them to the great physician and ask why there isn't growth. You know, none of us are what we ought to be. Can I get an amen? None of us are what we ought to be, but we must be making progress. We need to be making progress. Now, they were growing. This family in Thessalonica, the Thessalonica church, was growing in faith. And Paul said, I'm thankful that you were growing in your faith. And he also said they were growing in something else. What was it? Love. They were growing in love. They actually loved each other. Can you imagine? Somebody going to church together and loving each other. They got together and they actually wanted to be together. Let me ask you, can you tell when love is in a place? Come on now, let me get a good firm answer here. Can you tell when love is in a place? Can you tell when love is not in a place? Of course you can. You can tell. And I'm going to tell you that in a church where you're loving each other and you're loving the Lord. Now, there are always some members that are a little slower than others. Some need a little more help than the others. But the thing is that the general atmosphere in a church of love is love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Folks, the general atmosphere where God abounds is different than other places. You can tell. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about faith and hope and love because they are enduring gifts in the church. But that scripture also in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that if a church doesn't have them, that we're just a bunch of banging cymbals. You ever been to a cymbal band? There's a reason you don't go to a cymbal band. Now listen, every now and then to have that crescendo and the right song is really cool. But to have nothing but this, it's an irritant. And that's what Paul's saying. He says, if you don't have the faith, hope, and the love, then you're just banging noisemakers. Listen, a mature Christian will have that faith and that hope and that love in abundance. But even if you're not a mature Christian, listen to me. Listen, we have to grow. We all need to get there. But even if you're not a mature Christian right now, but you are a genuine Christian, you really belong to the Lord, I'm going to tell you this, you will be increasing in them even if you haven't reached that good place yet or the best place yet. It's called Christian growth. And friends, we need to be growing in Christ, growing in our love for one another, growing in our faith. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 tells us that love and faithfulness are a part of the fruit of the Spirit. When you spend time with Jesus, He's going to grow them in you. You can't grow them in you. Only God can. So in order for you to grow in them, you have to abide in Christ. Stay close to Jesus. These things just begin to grow in you. Paul recognized that the Thessalonians were genuine Christians because they had gone through their life, they had gone through their persecutions, they had gone through their trials, and instead of getting further away from God, they had grown towards the Lord. Instead of their faith being lost and forgotten, their faith had grown and been encouraged. Their love had grown. Their love had grown. Has yours? Do you have more faith this year than you did last year? Do you have more love this year than last year? If you don't, let me ask you, are you growing? Growing faith, growing love for the body, folks, that is an evidence of genuine faith. There's one more I want to talk to you about this morning. He said there in verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. You know what he says there? He says these guys have perseverance. Perseverance. The evidence of perseverance in your life is one of whether you're not a genuine Christian. I'm talking about you just don't give up all that easily. This present life is not where we're headed. Can I get an amen? This life is not the end. We are looking forward to what God has prepared for us. In our reading this morning from the Gerson family, the very first scripture read was from John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. That's the promise of Christ. Dear friends, we don't quit because it gets hard here. God allows our trials, our struggles here to purify our life. Those trials and fires refine us towards His holiness. Those difficulties, when we give them to the Lord, are bringing, boiling up in us the dross of sin. And God pulls it off of us so that our lives become shiny and pure. Why? So that He can see Himself in us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glorify at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are we allowing those trials to push us closer to Christ? Or are we pulled away? Now, there's another word for perseverance. Us Texans like to use it. We call it grit. That's why we like John Wayne. Grit. Do you have it? You either have it or you don't, right? Now, I'm not saying that you're one of those that could get out there and wrestle down a steer. Very few of us could. There's a couple out you probably could. I'm not even going to try. But I can tell you this, I will not give up when the world tells me that they don't like my faith, that they don't like my Jesus, that they don't like what I'm telling them. I'm going to have to tell them the truth. Am I going to keep on keeping on, or am I just going to give up because they don't like the message? Grit. Do you have it? When you have the opportunity, do you take a stand for Christ or do you walk away? Do you cave in? When there's pressure to act like the world, do you turn to the Lord or do you act like the world? I am so proud of our young people here. I am so proud of our youth. I love the ministry, Mitch and many of you, Andy, and many of you others who are working up there with our young people. Young people, if you're in the youth department, I'm talking to you right now. Can I just tell you this? I am so proud of the stand you take for Christ daily. God bless you. You encourage me. Amen. You encourage me. I hear about it. I really do. I hear about it. I hear about you witnessing both in word and in deed. What about us adults? Do we have any grit for Jesus? We could take that as an encouragement and a testimony and an illustration from our young people. I love how you witness to the world. Did you know that in an Arab country, I was reading not long ago about a former Muslim group. They had come to know Jesus Christ. And they decided that they were going to make a church in a Muslim country. As a part of their weekly worship, they would get together and they would announce from their pulpit. I guess they had a pulpit, they had a table, they were meeting at home. But they would call out and they would say, "How have you been persecuted for Christ this week?" Every Sunday that they met, they would ask. And they would use this opportunity, as people would share the difficulties that they'd been through, to comfort one another and to pray for one another. But they also used it as a sharpening tool for one another and to disciple and discipline the church. Now, why is that? Because in their culture, those who were not being persecuted were probably not acting any different from the rest of their world. Now, I'm not saying that people just love you because you talk to them about Jesus, but are they persecuting you? They were here. If these people didn't have persecution, their profession of faith was suspect. They were looked at. Are you really genuine? If you're not being persecuted, do you really belong to Jesus? The question for us, dear folks, is this: would we be suspect if we were put on trial? If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Grace, gratitude, growth, perseverance. If you want to call it grit, that's fine. These are evidences of a genuine faith in your heart and life. So when these evidences abound in your life, so does the blessed assurance of Christ in your heart. And when you see this fruit increasing in your life, and when you see this fruit of grace and gratitude and growth and perseverance, when you see these things growing in the church and in you, then we know that our faith is genuine. And if we don't see it, folks, we are suspect. Are we following Christ Jesus? Can I share something with you? I love that when folks ask me, "How's the church going, Gary?" I get to see folks from off here, there, and yon, especially at holidays. And they'll ask me, "How's the church going?" I love that I get to respond to them as in Philippians 1:3, that whenever my mind crosses to Grace Point Fellowship Baptist Church, I thank my God for every one of you for the gift of knowing you. I pray, dear friends, that we would do the same and keep the same, except that we continue to grow in faith. Can you say, "I thank my God" upon remembrances of somebody? And can they say the same for you? That is my challenge this morning. As we prepare to head into a time of invitation, would you give yourself in prayer to say, Lord, more. More abundant. More love. More grace. More gratitude. More growth. And yes, for all of us, more grit. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for your word. And all God's people said, amen. Father, thank you for your word. It reminds us, Lord, sometimes we're overwhelmed by the conviction it brings. But Lord, I pray that this morning, along with any conviction, that your word would bring us to the point of encouragement. For Father, we want people to know how much we love you. And we pray, Lord, that our love for one another would not just be an encouragement for the church, but for those outside looking in. For they will know that we are Christians by our love. So Father, help us to grow no matter where we're at. I pray that this time next year, we can absolutely look back and see growth in grace, growth in faith, growth in peace. And I pray, Father, that this morning that everyone here would make a commitment to grow in each of these areas, starting this day.